Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 34, John Bullard. John runs a company called My Inventory Team, where they operate a very large scale, ever-growing, and we talk about that in this segment, prep and ship company. Massive size, has outgrown his space on his third warehouse, and still growing. Even in the competitive environment that's out there, they're still growing. His expansion into overseas, I mean, it's just an amazing story, and I just think there's such knowledge and such information that you will benefit from. So let's jump right into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and tonight's guest has one of the long-time sellers, I mean, one of the longest sellers that I've talked with on eBay, but more on Amazon, definitely a long-time seller on Amazon, but has branched into just a myriad of other services, and we're going to talk about them all tonight. Welcome, John Bullard. Welcome, John.
Hey, how are you? Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
I got to say John Senior. Because there are two.
That's
there's
correct.
That's John Jr. So, you know, John. John has a service called My Inventory Team, and I've used the service. It's been my prep center for I guess the last year and a half, 2 years. And I don't use them as much as I did because, as I was mentioned to John, I used to send all my oversized stuff down there because you're in Tennessee, and the center where my oversized stuff is in Tennessee, so it made a lot of sense. But since I went to inventory placement, it's just I stay away from oversized because it really, to be competitive for me, I had to ship them in by pallet, and it's just I'm not going to get that large. But I've used the service, and so I could recommend it because I personally have used it, and I've dealt with John's wife, and I was in before it became so automated, and I'm really interested to hear how automated it's come. But John, you started selling on eBay 18 years ago. What did you do before then?
I was in the corporate world. I've had many different jobs in the corporate world, working for a furniture company, worked my way all the way up from furniture to a showroom manager of a multi-million-dollar showroom, a showroom up in New England.
And so selling retail?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So that's a really great experience for moving into other worlds that you have that retail experience.
Yeah, I've been doing this for about 30 years.
Did you do buying for them too eventually? I mean, how did you get into that side?
I did not do buying for them, but I learned a lot of my buying from watching their buys and how they did it and some of the things that I was able to have privilege to. I worked for a furniture company that I actually did get to do some of the buying for and learned how they buy and the place they buy and how they buy and how they're able to, you know, work with the vendors to get the pricing down and things like that and free shipping. So I learned a lot of that from that aspect, but I learned more of my entrepreneurial stuff by just getting surrounded by people that are doing it and absorbing that information.
I know furniture is like a huge markup, or at least it used to be, you know, and I'm sure it's been disrupted somewhat with the internet. But back in the day, I mean, I've heard stories that, you know, they'd sell a couch for $1,000 and the store's cost was $180 or some crazy number like that. Is that the way you remember it?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite like that anymore because I remember – but I could sell a Tempur-Pedic mattress for $10,000 and make $1,000 though. So that was a nice little profit off of that.
Wait, that was $1,000 commission?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Just sell one a week, right? And that was a good – but who could afford a $10,000 mattress, right?
Well, I mean, that's... it's funny because I sold quite a few and I actually was number one in the region for bedding sales because I concentrated on bedding because I knew that's where my money was.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I mean, that's a lesson, right? There's a golden nugget. Pay your salespeople. If you want them to sell something, give them the best commission on it. Magically, they'll figure out how to sell that item, right?
To people that need it. You don't sell it to people that don't need it, but people that need it and are looking for something like that and ask for the best, you certainly take them and show them the best, and you give them all the, you know, the pros and cons about it, and then they make the ultimate decision of whether they want it or not.
Did you go right from the sales opportunity up in New England down to – I mean, did you start eBay up in that market or did you start it down in Tennessee where you're at now?
Started it in New England.
Okay. So were you in antiques or what were you selling back then?
funny thing is, my son and I, you know, as my oldest son, John Jr., was growing up, I wanted to continue to be in his life, and he was more book savvy, and he didn't want to do sports. So I had to find something. So we started selling Pokemon cards and putting sets together with rares and just holographs and stuff like that. And we started buying these things by the ton, and we were probably one of the best Pokemon sellers on eBay at the time. And I was buying these things by the thousands.
And where were you buying them from? From retail outlets, or were you buying them in bulk on eBay and then splitting them up?
No, we were actually buying them from the distributors that made the Pokemon cards because we got so big.
Did that lead you into other lines that they offered? Because you're not the first seller that I've dealt with that had this very similar scenario.
It really, we struggled with that for quite a few years. And it's like anything else. When you're first starting out, you know, you got to have that trust factor that you can do other things. And I really didn't have that fact. I knew we were good at Pokemon cards, and we did dabble with other things. But the bread and butter was Pokemon cards. We were making a lot of money on Pokemon cards. I'm talking, you know, we probably did $100,000 on eBay in Pokemon cards.
Oh, my gosh. And so at that point, were you still just part-time, or were you full-time at that point?
I was still part-time.
Okay, so you were part-time. And what point did you transition to a full-time reselling position?
I didn't transition to a full-time reselling position until we moved down here, which is about 6 years ago. My son, John Jr., decided that he wanted to move to Tennessee. His in-laws had family down here, and he wanted to, you know, start a family down here. So my wife and I, who was a regional manager of the same company that I was working for, we left good corporate jobs to come down here, and I came down here and worked for Ashley's Furniture out of Jackson, Tennessee, and found out that the sales weren't the same as up there, and the people down here were certainly different. They wanted to hear me talk because of my accent from the north versus having me sell them furniture, and that just wasn't viable for me. So about 4 years ago, I made the decision. Amazon came on with their FBA program shortly before that. And I said, wow, now I can take stuff. And we were selling merchant fulfilled, but now I don't have to do it. And I was doing that part-time. I said, now I don't have to do this. I can just send it all in there, and they'll send it to my customers for me. And we exploded. And since then, 4 years ago, I never looked back. I've been home since.
You're one of those early adopters of FBA. You're one of the first.
Yeah, I was one of those people that got that storyline of what FBA meant, and knew that if I didn't have to touch product, that was a good thing, and I can just push product into there and it would sell. That'd be a great concept.
Now, what's so funny about that statement is your business has evolved where you touch a lot of product, right? I mean, it's just, well, not you personally, but your team does, because you prep for a lot of other businesses, right?
Yeah, we prep for clients all over the world. We have a lot of international clients. We have them from everywhere. And how that evolved is because we were doing the FBA, and I was going to trade shows, and I was getting so much product. I said, well, first of all, I built a network where you know that I have, where people can buy the closeouts. And then once we built that, I said, well, what if they don't want the products that I have? Because not everybody wants what I have, and I understand that. So I built it so that they can actually send their own products to us, so that if they wanted us to prep their products, they would have a channel to do that. And that's where our business really started to explode and start to take off, once we offered that to our clients and they could send their products instead of them just buying it from me.
You were definitely one of the first. And my memory serves me is that not only were you one of the first, you're one of the first that are left. There were a couple others way back, but I think most of them have gone away due to circumstances, life experiences, or what have you. Now, today, there are a lot of other people offering very similar services to you. Has that been an effect? Has that had an effect on you?
It has had an effect on us somewhat, because, I mean, obviously, if you've got more options, people, you know, who could blame them? They're going to try their options. But the way we look at it is that we're not the cheapest, but we're the best. And that's why, and that's why we're here.
I think it's a relationship issue. I think people are comfortable with who they're comfortable with. I know a couple of your clients who would never move. I mean, and they just love it because they know exactly who to call, and they could call and say, hey, this isn't right. And, you know, that's not putting down anybody else. I mean, that's just the real world. And I think that that's not a bad thing, because I remember before you moved into your new warehouse, you were overwhelmed with product at that point.
Yeah, that's when we had a 5,000 square foot warehouse, and then we moved into our warehouse about March of 2014, and we busted out of a 42,000 square foot warehouse now. We just don't have any more room, so we have another building that we're getting to sign a lease in. And the only problem with signing the lease is UPS right now, we're doing too much business for UPS, and they're trying to figure out how to handle us.
It's just interesting to hear you say that. So you went from a 5,000 square foot warehouse where you were overwhelmed, clearly. You jumped to a 42, and you probably said to yourself, oh, that's going to get me a few years. And here you are, you're already, you know, a year later, year and a half later, you're already blowing that out.
Yeah, we just need more space, and especially with all the services that we have that we're going to be offering as far as our second part of our software, which is probably going to launch in the beginning of the year, that will be able to help anyone that's online or eBay. You can actually store the stuff in our warehouse. We have storage charges, and we'll ship it to your customers right from our warehouse.
Yeah, you're one of the few, you know, and I think about that when you've talked about that, it seems similar to the Pitney Bowes, what they do for global shipping of eBay, where they take your package and supposedly reopen it and repackage it. I don't believe that to be true, but then they send it all around the world. So you're talking a very similar operation where you'll store my stuff, I'll have a sale, you'll get notified, you'll pick and pack and ship it off for me.
That's right.
Does that require that I prepackage it and send it to you, John? So, you know, ideally, am I putting it in a 9x12x2 box and sending it to you, putting a label on the outside so you know the product ID? Or what's your thinking of what it's going to look like?
No, you're going to store your items in our warehouse, and as they sell, we're going to box them and ship them for you.
Okay, so you can handle a glass vase. And a 17th century painting, I mean, bad examples, of course, but you can handle those odd shapes, I guess, is what I was really going for.
Yeah, because we have on-demand bubble machines that make the bubble, and our bubble is state-of-the-art. It's firm bubble. There's a lot of places like Lowe's and places you can get bubble, and even like Uline and places like that. But our bubble is channeled a certain way where it keeps the air in there a lot longer. So what a lot of people don't realize is when you bubble something and send it to Amazon, it sits on a shelf for 3-4 weeks, the air starts to go out of that bubble. Our bubble doesn't do that. It lasts 5 times longer because of the way it's manufactured. In our bubble, we make the bubble, so everything that we do, we make those channels for.
So looking at, you know, and I don't think I've heard of anybody else considering offering an eBay shipping operation. I've not heard of anybody. I mean, I've heard of there used to be some consignment kind of people that would do things. But you're really talking about opening up a section of the warehouse for me and letting me store my – I have 5,000 SKUs for eBay, so be careful what you ask for. So how different – I mean, what do you expect to see? You know, if me with my 5,000 SKUs and I wanted to move them down there, what would that be like?
Well, they would – first of all, they would all be into our software the same way, where we would have it. So we would be able to calculate how long your product's been with us monthly as far as our storage fees. And we would also be able to calculate what section it's in, how much you have as far as in our warehouse. We have a state-of-the-art inventory warehouse system that's being built, and it's almost done. And we're going to start beta testing it. So we're very comfortable with being able to do that and servicing it. And our fees are going to be a lot less than if you were multi-filling it by Amazon, because Amazon gets pick-and-pack fees. They get all these other they get weight-based fees. We're not looking at that. I mean, is it going to cost to ship? Yeah, but we're only going to charge the shipping of what it actually costs to ship. We're not going to hit you with a weight-based fee or things like that. So, and we're certainly not going to hit you with some of their other fees that they have. I mean, we don't care if it's a small, medium, or large. There's no oversized pack fee or –
Right. No, I agree with you. It takes the same amount of effort. I mean, to pack is pack. So, you know, you really – because one of the big challenges about our business, for example, is because we have so many eBay items, when we go on vacation, I do have to close the store. Now, last time I did not close our store, I extended the delivery days way out, because what happened with eBay, when I closed the store, my sales just tank for weeks. And then eventually they come back as we work our way back into the chain of items, what have you. But this last time we didn't, and didn't have too much problem, but I'm sure our sales were affected. But with using a service like yours, I don't have to change a thing. Literally, I list it, send it to you, and then you put it up on the shelf and that kind of thing.
That's correct.
That's a big advantage. And so, again, that's another reason not to have staff, not to have a warehouse, because you're paying that fee to you. I don't think people realize what it costs to own a warehouse, John, or to operate a warehouse. You know, do you own your warehouses or do you lease them?
No, we lease them. But I can tell you just in prep stuff alone, it's thousands and thousands of dollars a month just for the materials. Because remember, we buy all our cardboard is made for us, and it's brand new. We don't use recycled cardboard, or if Walmart's boxes come in, we don't put them in that and send it to Amazon. We take pride in what we do. Like I said, we're not the cheapest, but I think we're the best at what we do. We bubble line our boxes, and we protect the assets of our clients, so that we've never, since we've gone to the bubble line boxes, had one complaint from any of our clients saying that we damaged something in transit to Amazon.
So that – you know, because you could save money, but you're going to pay it on the other end. And let's face it, we all are paying it. I hate when I bought an item for $50, sounding it in, selling it for $100, and they lose it. And then all of a sudden my reimbursement's $22, or it got damaged and the reimbursement's $22. And I'm like, wait, I paid $50. And so anytime you can minimize that stuff, you're making money. And so you're really not saving it when you're taking shortcuts. So I agree with you there. That's really interesting. And I think that eBay thing is really going to open up. Because it's not only eBay. Today it's eBay and Amazon, and I don't know what's going on with Etsy, but there'll be another player in the market eventually, and you guys can handle – you're planning on handling any of that service for any client.
Yeah.
Would you also handle it for my private website? Like I have my own website. Would you be able to handle the shipping for that?
Yeah, we're going to do that also.
Okay. So you really can – I can put the same item up on all three channels. Which I do currently, and actually I put it on 4 because I merchant fulfill it and I FBA it on Amazon. And so – and I have it on eBay and my own website. So then in that scenario, I'm just sending it to you. You're sending what I want to FBA. The rest is sitting there, and you can handle all three of those other options for me.
Well, we can handle any option. We can merchant fulfill it for you.
Right. And so you can merchant fulfill. You can do eBay, or you could do my own website.
Any website, so anything like that, yeah.
That's a big opportunity. When do you think that's going to get launched, John?
We're two-thirds of the way done with it. I mean, we're probably going to beta test it here soon, and probably the first of the year is when – I don't want to roll it out in fourth quarter because I think that's suicidal.
Well, you know, before we go to break, I want to ask you, are you accepting clients now that it is fourth quarter for prep and pack still, or are you turned off until January?
No, we've hired enough staff where we're currently still accepting them.
Okay, so you still are accepting. So if somebody's still looking for a prep and ship company and they don't know where to go, myinventoryteam.com, John's, all the services are there and all the connections are there, and they can help you with that. So what I want to do is I want to take us to break, because when I come back, I want to talk about you offer a lot of other services, and including one that you were telling me about offline, which I'm really intrigued with, this co-op WhatsApp. I mean, I've heard of WhatsApp. I know it's big in certain circles, not in my circle yet. I'm really intrigued by that, but I love the way you describe that it works. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. Excited to bring on a new sponsor today, YourSourcedInventory.com. That's YourSourcedInventory.com, where they focus on shoes and clothing, great gated categories, high average selling price. Remember that high average selling price with a good return of investment means more profit in your pocket. Here's some stats they sent me for September. In shoes, they averaged the top 2%, average rank of 7,000, net profit of almost $30 with an ROI of 89%. Those are good numbers. Clothing, top 2 to 3%, average rank was 4,132, net profit of about $12, and ROI again of 104%. Those are great. These are online deals that are sent to you 5 days a week. You get 10 items a day. You're going to be able to grow your business from the comfort of your home. This is exactly what we needed for our business. It's the reason we're using them. So we think this is a great way that you can move forward in a great category. YourSourcedInventory.com. YourSourcedInventory.com. All right, get ready for some real value. You know, John's going to talk about what happens if Amazon was to close tomorrow. What would happen in his business? You might be surprised what he says. I also love what John says about trade shows. He is an expert. He's been to tons of them. He spends a lot of time at them and buys huge deals at trade shows. He offers a co-op WhatsApp group where you're at a trade show and you find a deal that's outside of your realm, you can just reach out into your group and immediately get five other people to jump on the deal with you so you can get better pricing. Love it, love it, love it. Cutting edge, love it. The other thing he talks about is, hey, you found a deal and it's big and you don't want it, and I do, I'll pay you a fee. No cost out of your pocket, no risk. And he talks about an example of one that just happened for him. I'm fascinated. I love the way these guys work. They just continue to expand and just are booming. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with John Bullard from MyInventoryTeam.com. And John has a prep and ship company. Okay, and if you listen to that first segment, you're going to hear about that they can expand into handle your merchant fulfilled. They can handle they will be able to handle your eBay, and they will be able to handle your own private website. So I've been talking to a lot of successful sellers, and a lot of them are talking about doing their own websites. And a lot of them are using Amazon to fulfill those sales. But if there's a less expensive way by using your service, that might be a great way. But you also offer other services. I'm on your list because I've been a client for a couple of years, where I get notifications that, hey, here's a group buying opportunity to buy, you know, X product. I have access to this many items at this price. Here's the rank. Here's the different thing. It's really a sourcing service, but it's a wholesale sourcing service. How long have you been offering that, John?
That, like I said, to go back a little bit on that, Jenny Hunt and met me at CES 2 last year at Jim Corcoran's event where I was speaking. And she just, you know what, I tell people that when people are sleeping, that's when all the networking happens and the deals are made. So if you want to be a go-getter, those are times that you're going to make your biggest deal. So she came up to me and started talking to me. I knew her on the internet from her toy guide that she puts out every year, her Christmas toy guide, a holiday toy guide. And she came up to me and said, we need to do something together. And I started talking to her about, you know, I can't get out to all these trade shows, and I want to train people how to do it for me so they can buy product for themselves and also find product for me so I can move it through my network. So that's where this co-op, the Empower You Systems wholesale course came in. It's a Facebook course that we have that we do that members can join in. It's a paid thing, and you have mentors in there. We have some of the top people in the business in there that help you and so forth. And from that, then I decided I wanted to put a co-op, you know, a WhatsApp out. And the WhatsApp thing, which is great, is basically we have 100 people in there right now in one group, and the other second group B is filling up. But what's great about that is that you can go to any trade show, any event. You can do it online at home in your own, in your pajamas if you want. You find closeout items or items that you want to buy and the price is too high for you as far as the quantities and minimums. And you have somebody, you know, a vendor say, listen, if you buy 1,000 units of this, I can give it to you for $4. If you buy it by the case, it's like $6. Well, you can go into this co-op and within seconds, just text to them through the co-op, say, hey, listen, here's the deal. Here's what it is. Here's what's selling on Amazon for. I need five people to go in who wants in. And they're making deals like that all the time. Now, that's one of the reasons why I built the co-op. But the beauty of the co-op and the real reason I bought it, and you're going to like this part, Steven, is that basically you can actually go to a trade show or get online and search for closeout product. You don't have to spend a dime, and you send me the UPCs and the cost and the information from the vendor, and if I'm able to drill the price down and sell it through my network, you're going to get a finder's fee. So you can make money with no investment. That's the biggest part of the co-op that I love.
That sounds great. So if I come across a deal and I'm not, for whatever reason, I don't have the money to buy it, but I know it's a deal. And anybody who's done this for any length of time, and especially if you buy closeouts or buy stores, I bought a few, you come across these deals. And sometimes they're just so much larger than I am. And so I can reach out to you, and if this fits your network and you're interested in it, you would pay some kind of finder's fee.
Yeah, we pay based on what it is and based on the margins we're able to get. We normally get, you know, we'll normally pay like a 10% finder's fee. Well,
oh, wow.
If you go to – and that's based on us selling it. So if you go to a trade show and let's say you buy, you know, $2,000 of your own product, but then you find something and I move it to my network and I profit, you know, I send it out there and we make $50,000 revenue and you get 10%, you do the math, you got your product at that trade show for free.
You know, you are one of the – now, Bob Willey's the same way, and I don't want to call you old school, but you really know how to use a trade show. And I've heard you talk about this in the past where you've been able to go to trade shows. And you've spent the last X number of years really mining trade shows and really finding deals. I mean, are you walking up to every vendor, or are you picking out the – is there a type of vendor that you go after when you're at a trade show?
I think it's more the research, like in my book, the Beyond Arbitrage book I put out. I show people that basically you look up the trade show. Once you look up the trade show, you look up the vendors, you see the products that they have. You kind of get yourself familiar with what they sell and the markets that they sell in. You make the contacts there, and then you ask them, you're interested in closeouts. Who do you speak to at the trade show? And then I don't necessarily make appointments, but I know the people I'm supposed to speak to, and I know that they have closeouts, and I know what the closeouts are, so that when I go up to them, I already have all the information that I need, and I can just start to build a conversation with a relationship. Whether we're talking about product or talking about them and their lives. And before you know it, I'm getting all this information on, and I'm able to drill down the pricing. That's the biggest thing. When I tell them, you know, my thing more so than other people is I have a huge network. So, and I use that to my leverage. I say, listen, I can move a large volume of product for you if the pricing's right.
Well, that leads me to about 8 questions. So I'm going to try and remember them one by one, but you know, I'll probably forget a few. You have a huge network. Is every bit of your network, and I know the answer, all selling on Amazon, or are they selling other places?
They sell other places too.
Right. So you have retailers that are part of your network.
I do.
Correct?
I do.
And I think that's what fascinates me more, is that relationship. So you're selling to just, you know, it's like a giant wholesale auction almost, it reminds me of. So when you go and approach that show, do you already have people in mind of who you can sell it to?
I want to say I have ideas of people, but here's the thing, that I try to keep that as an even playing field. So one thing I don't do is if I've got 5,000 units of something and I know that I got buyers that will buy it, I still send it out to my list. And it's a first come, first serve, stamped by the email and how it came to me. It doesn't matter if my big buyers come in and they're number 7 and I sold out and they want it all. I keep it fair.
Okay. All right. Well, I always wondered that. I knew that you had sold to retailers. And so that really has expanded for you. Are you still actively – is that where the inventory that's coming in your warehouse, is that one of the biggest parts of growth of your business?
The fulfillment side is probably the biggest growth, and I think one of the other biggest growth that we're having is private label.
Yeah, and you had we'll go to private label in a minute. You had already told me earlier that you really have a lot of overseas clients. Is that still continuing to grow?
Yes, every day.
Do you also have clients that you fulfill overseas? So, for example, let me think of a good example. I'm selling Legos, and that's a bad example. I'm selling coffee, and I'm having you fulfill my coffee, sending it to Amazon. Are you have a bunch of clients that you're sending that same product to Canada, to England, to or wherever, Europe, to Rakuten and all the different places too?
Yes. We send product to Canada, to the UK, to Japan, and I think we're going to probably have clients soon going to Mexico.
So I think that's another, you know, little golden nugget out there, is that one of the challenges, you know, for me, it's scary to go to these other markets. You really want to partner with somebody who's done it, because I think that's there is some intimidation and some fear. And so by having somebody who's doing it for other clients, I think that's a real value that you offer, John. Now, you're doing private label for yourself, and then you're handling others' private
yes.
label too? Are you?
And we also have several of our clients at private label products.
And are you doing the packaging? I mean, are you receiving, I want to call it raw product, assembling anything or assembling it in special boxes or packaging and sending it to Amazon for them?
Some of them buy their own special boxes and we put it in the boxes for them. We do that. We don't do any, like you said, raw product. In other words, we don't take anything that's sold in bulk and take them out and do 3 of this and 2 of that. And everything that we do, even with the private label stuff, it's basically all – it's packaged by themselves and they're bundling it, or we don't get into, because one of the things we like about our reputation is that everything is completely sealed. We're not touching the product with our hands as far as most of the stuff that comes in is either it can be bagged, but we're not opening up. Like I use the expression of like nuts and bolts. We're not opening up a pack of 50 nuts and 50 bolts and making them in tens.
But you would open up a box of Star Wars figures that come in and there's 12 in a case. You're opening up the case of 12, pulling them out and putting a label on them for us.
Yes, we do that. Okay. And we'll do gift boxes. I mean, we have clients that do gift boxes and we have people that put together, you know, certain drink type stuff where we have to put 5 into a box and seal it. And they have their own custom box that we do.
Okay. Okay. And so you can do that and maybe label if you want. So you offer all those services. That's really great.
Yeah, we brand it. They give us the branding cards and we put the brands on there and, you know, we do everything, you know, for that as far as private label. Whatever the client wants and it makes sense to do, we're going to do it. It's just we're not doing it from the raw, like you said. That's a good expression, raw.
You know, one of the cool things on my inventory team, too, on the website is the training video. So you're saying, hey, here's how you use our service. You're not afraid to put it out there that somebody could copy. Here's how you use our service. You want to receive it the way you need it, and you want them so you're very clear in the expectations. Now, when I last used your service, since then you had put some software in place. Walk us through the process. So I have a product I'm buying from Walmart.com, and I'm sending it to you. How does that process work?
Well, basically, you're going to still go into your Amazon seller account and enter the information, all the information that you normally would, except for the shipping part of it. And then you're going to take the MSQ and the quantity and go into my software and enter those things into my software. And once you do that, you're basically done. The labels, the boxes, where they're shipping it to, the outside labels is all done by us now. There's no more back and forth email, so it really cuts down on that lag of time in between where we may need to get something from you, and then we may be waiting for you because we sent you an email, and then you may be waiting for us because we sent you an email back and or we didn't respond right away. It cuts all that out. It really speeds up the whole process.
Yeah, because that's different. So in the old days, I would send you an image of the labels, and then you would print them off, put them on the product. You'd box them, and then you'd send them back a note saying, all right, Steve, here's box one. It's 50 pounds. Here's box two. It's going to this market, and it's 20 pounds. And so that last section, so once I enter that SKU stuff and send it to you, I'm basically done. You're into my account. You're connected somehow to my account, and it automatically does all that for me, closes out the shipments and everything?
Yeah, we go through the API of your account. Amazon gives us the permission, and you give us permission to do it. And we go through the back end. And, yeah, you basically, once you enter what you need to enter for us, which is the MSQ and the quantities, you're done until we bill you. And even our billing system now, once we're done, it gets automatically billed. There's no wait time or anything. The software does it all.
That's efficient. That's a huge improvement. That was not that it was that hard before, but that's a really big improvement. Wow. All right. That's great to know. I didn't know that you were there yet. I haven't used it. I got to get back on.
We've been doing that since about June.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. As I said, I have to get back on. So you guys have really expanded. What are you going to be doing next, John? What do you see? So you got the eBay business getting up and running. Obviously, the Amazon FBA business is expanding. I mean, that's not going to get any smaller or any slower. What do you see next?
I have some things in the works. The biggest problem is, you know, mastering it and then outsourcing what you can so that you can continue to do things. I mean, there's I want to continue with the wholesale trade show course. I think that's a great idea. I think I see myself at some point, because we're doing private label now, probably doing something along the lines of private labeling. My next app I'm looking at, and Chris Green has this, but mine's been in the work for about 16 to 18 months now. It takes a long time to do it, but I'm looking at my own analyzing tool for my network so that when I send a list out and you want to buy it, you can analyze right there and then if it's a smart buy.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Is the My Inventory Team Facebook group, now that's a closed group, how does somebody get access to join that group?
It's closed, but if you just go to My Inventory Team's Facebook group and ask to join, I pretty much let people in. I mean, I do screen them and make sure that there's no, you know, we get those weird advertisement people that come in all the time, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the spammers. You know, what I John and I were talking about before we went live is I love the specialist of the day, ask the expert, just because I was one of them at one point. And man, the questions that people asked me were so thought-provoking. It was such a great discussion, and I really got a lot from it being that expert for the day. And I enjoyed reading everybody, and I just really enjoy it. I just think it's such a smart idea. So if you're looking for more good information from a group of experts that you probably know of and some you've never heard of, my inventory team does a nice job of having them. And I don't know, how many days a week do you do that, John?
I usually do it on Mondays and Thursdays. I try to do it twice a week.
Okay. All right. And it's a great place. You can ask any question. And I got some great questions on every subject. And you know, me being a little bit on eBay, too, I can answer those questions. So I really enjoyed it. John, you really have built an enormous business, and you have your whole family involved, right? So your wife and your son. Are there more family members involved?
We have just my side of the family, which is my wife, my son, and my actually two sons. And then I have my son's side of the family that's involved with his wife, and we have others that get involved occasionally that when we need them. So it started out as family, but now it's and I think what people need to know about the Fulfillment Center is it's not about us. I mean, it's bigger than us. It's about what we do for, you know, people that think that you always got to donate to these charities and things to make a difference, which is good. You want to do those things. But when we're providing jobs for people in our warehouse and the people that where the product comes from, they're getting jobs, and where it's made from is creating jobs. And the people that are buying it from the other country are benefiting from it. And UPS and all these trucking companies are benefiting from it. And the town that we're in is benefiting from it. There's a lot of good that we're doing, and we're making an impact. And I think that people need to understand that it's bigger than my inventory team. It's much bigger than that. It's about the cause and what we're doing and how we're just changing lives, whether it be our own employees or the people that send the product to us or the people that even make the products.
I think it's well said. You know, it just gets me thinking about you are a family there, and, you know, this first name basis. I remember, you know, talking to some of your staff. And so, you know, thinking about being an individual, you know, one of the Greg Murphy's mentioned this, you know, is that you become an individualist and sometimes in this business, and having an extension like you or somebody else, that really helps, you know, that really helps to know that you do have a partner out there and it's somebody that you can call and say, hey, I've got a problem. I need some help. And I think there's some real value in that. What do you think, John, you know, is your biggest strength as an entrepreneur? So you are an entrepreneur. You weren't always. Did you get the entrepreneur? I mean, well, let me ask you this. Did you have it before you went into sales? I mean, you're definitely a gifted salesman, and you're talkative, you're likable, affable. You can, you're comfortable in that. Did you get the entrepreneur spirit before then, or did it just develop with the sales?
Well, I was quiet for a long time. I mean, but as far as the entrepreneurship, I mean, you know, eBay and just other things. I mean, my wife can tell you, since we've been married, which is 32 years the other day, we did Miracle Made. We did Amway. We did just about anything that was out there. I just had that spirit of wanting to always work for myself. And just, I mean, we were very successful with Amway, and we did other things that we were very successful with. I mean, we even owned our own delis for quite some time up north. So we owned a gift store. I mean, just one of those things where I've always wanted to be my own boss, and I had to find a way to do it where I can kind of take myself out of the equation a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think so. Joy Packard would describe it as your why. So your why is you wanted freedom, right, to be your own. Is it kind of to set your own destiny, or?
I think I wanted freedom to be able to make my decisions the way that I wanted to make them, and not have a boss to make them for me, or not have a company that if you're number 168, you know, and they got to lay somebody off, you're just a number, not a person. So when we built my fulfillment, my inventory team, that was one of the things that we took to heart, is that we didn't want to treat people like they were a number. We wanted to treat them like they were a human being, like they're supposed to be treated. So
that's where I was going with that. I was going to say is that you didn't want to be treated that. Has that transferred over now into your handling of staff? And it sounds like it does.
Yeah, absolutely. We you know, we want them to be treated the way we want them to also treat our other employees the way that they would want to be treated. So there's a big respect factor there as far as, and that all came because of being in the corporate world and just seeing so many things that I had to deal with that I wasn't comfortable with. So I wanted to make it so that I can do my own thing. And the internet, when the internet came about, it just opened up a lot of doors for a lot of things. But I also wanted to make it so that if I wanted to go and do something else, I wasn't tied down. So, and the biggest part of this equation is, and for people that are going to listen to this, is that my headache was I tried to get into all these type of things, and you can only do so much or you get information overload. We hear about information overload all the time. So I learned – Jim Corcoran taught me a valuable question. I've known Jim since the 90s and Skip since the early 2000s. And Jim taught me a valuable lesson. He says, you're doing everything. You can't do it all. He says, find something that you do well, teach somebody else to do it, and then move on and do it. So in other words, you master it, you teach somebody else and move on. And because of that, I've built multiple different flows of income so that if Amazon closed tomorrow, it wouldn't affect me.
Well, there's a great lesson right there is that – I mean, that's a bold statement. If Amazon closed tomorrow, you'd stay in business.
Absolutely.
How many of us, you know, who are listening to this podcast right now can say the same thing? And I think, you know, a lot of us, you know, have not set it up. And another pattern I'm seeing among the successful sellers is they really are working towards having a B plan, not out of fear – but out of common sense, because guarantee that 6 months from now, something will change and something will change. And the month after something will, it's just the nature of the world. Right. And so by having a little more control, you're in control now, but how it took you 4 years to get in control, right, John? You weren't in control from day one.
No, not from day one. And like I said, it's just, there's just so many, one of the biggest things I think people need to understand is that when you go to these conferences that you go to, Stephen and I go to, is that I see a lot of people that are not networking. If you're going to pay for something and you're going to be there, utilize that time and pick people's brains. And, you know, if you're at lunch and there's a break, sit with people at one table. And then if you have another break, sit somewhere else. Learn, go and mingle with these people and learn. And you'll find out that the people that are in these circles, there's so much out there. You could be writing a book together or doing a course together or doing a WhatsApp together or masterminds, you know, Jenny Hunt and Ryan Rieger and I mastermind. Every Thursday we get together and we brainstorm about where do we go next? What can we do to add more value for people?
You're selling me. I was at CES 3 and we didn't get to see each other, but I made three deals right in the lobby. Right in the lobby. I mean, never even at the show. I mean, right in the lobby. And it was amazing times. And, you know, the times, as you say, when everybody else is sleeping, I remember CES too, because I was in Dallas. I remember seeing you guys sit around that lounge area, and I'm like, they're up to something. I could tell they were up to something. See, I saw that. I watched that. But it was a huge group. And when you get that level and you say, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, you're going to have five people say, I did that. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. And you take away so much of that learning curve by just spending that time and networking. I agree with you 100%.
That's the biggest thing, because out of networking becomes masterminds, and out of masterminds become – I can talk to just about anybody now and ask them about their life and what they've done in their life. And 9 out of 10 times I can tell them, you know what, you have a story. You need to get out there. You need to have a Facebook group. You need to create your story, because once you create your story – And you get that trust value and people start to believe in you, then you create followings. And then once you create followings, people are going to listen to you because you created value. If you don't have value and you're just out there, you know, snowballing it, people will read through that and they'll see the difference.
Well, it's Chris Green saying give, 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 you know, or Gary V, give, 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 then jab, you know, and I think that's absolutely true. It didn't sound like you had any fear going in this business. Was that the confidence because you did so well in sales? I mean, is that just an edge that you have? You just have that natural confidence, or do you have a fear?
I think we all have fears. I mean, every day, I mean, even people that are semi-successful have fears. I mean, but I look at fears a different way. I look at failures a different way. We all have failures, but what I look at as a failure is a failure to me is just getting me one step closer to success.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a learning point, you know, and I try not to make fatal decisions, right? So I don't want to make a decision where I'm betting it all on 7. You know, I want to test. Dan Miller, you and I talked about Dan Miller. He had said that he gets rid of the 15% of what he does every year. Even though things that are working for him, so he can take and try something new. And what he gets through is that, hey, that might be the best 15% of what I'm doing. That's why he gets so excited about it. So I agree with you there. John, when, you had mentioned your book, Beyond Arbitrage, and I read the book and I loved it. I remember getting it last year at CES. What other books could you recommend for our listeners or podcasts or anything that you could recommend that you think somebody might get some benefit from?
Well, I think anything that is going to be positive, and I'm not talking a novel, but I'm talking – these are some of the books I read recently. Like I have Joyce Meyer's Change Your Words, Change Your Life. You know who Rabbi Daniel Lappin is.
Yep, I met him last year.
Met him. He signed my books, Thou Shall Prosper, the second edition. And also he has Business Secrets from the Bible. I'm reading that one now. It's an awesome book. And then for those out there that are a little bit more religious, I have Joel Osteen. I read his books because his message and the way he comes across to me relates with me. It may not relate with everybody. It relates with me. And he has books called Breakout, Every Day's a Friday, Your Words Hold a Miracle, and Your Best Life Begins Each Morning.
I love that book. I read it. I will have links to all those books, so nobody has to write them down to get them. I'll have links to them all, so don't try to get them. I think they're all great, and I get a common theme there is you're looking for positive, inspirational messages. I always quote Andy Slammons, who's like, look, I'm only hanging around with people who bring joy to others, period. That's it. I'm taking anybody else out of my life. I want bringing joy to others because that's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. So I wholeheartedly get that.
There's another book, too, that probably nobody – I don't think – probably anybody may have read this book in this audience. I don't know or not. But Steve Harvey, you know, Steve Harvey, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Steve Harvey, his story and how he became successful, he has a book that's Act Like a Success, Think Like a Success. And that's a great book.
I'm going to read that. That sounds like my new reading material. He's out with Grant Cardone doing events. I saw that and I thought, huh, that's an interesting pair to put together, but he's a dynamic individual. They say an amazing speaker.
Now, I also did, I don't know if you knew that I put something together with Jim Corcoran, Skip McGrath, and Jose Calero last year in March. We actually did a trade show, a wholesale sourcing trade show over in Vegas. We had this big place that we rented and brought people in. But what we did, we had a 2-day event, but we also took 10 people each, and I think I ended up with 11, and took them onto the actual trade show floor and actually showed them how to work with vendors. And out of that experience, I got tons of testimonials from the people that went with me. And I actually had a couple of them that came back to me with even real big testimonials, like where they ended up getting exclusives because what they learned from me.
Will you be offering that again this year at ASD?
I think we're going to be offering it in March again. Jim's talking about it, and I know Skip's talking about it. I think we are going to offer it again in March at ASD. It's not part of ASD. It's something we have a building on the side, a hotel, and then we walk them over to the trade show. But I also do private things where if people want to go to the trade show, I take a group, and you know, it's the price involved, of course, to do that. But I take them out on the trade show floor and I teach them how I work with vendors.
Would they be able to find out information about that on My Inventory Team on the Facebook group, or where would they look for that information?
I usually do post it on the My Inventory Team something that I'm going to be doing. I know I'm talking. I talked last year at ASD. They want me back, but it's kind of a conflict of when I'm going to do that, because I know Robin Johnson and I want to do something together as talking together at ASD also. So I'm not sure where that's going. So. Like I said, there's a lot of things and a lot of different relationships that get formed, business relationships, when you go to these type of events. Like I just went to the one up in SCO. I spoke at SCO just a couple of weeks ago. I think it's a couple of weeks ago now. And Robin was there, and I started talking to her, and then we decided, you know what, we need to do something. So we're probably looking at the beginning of the year of we're going to team up and try to do something together.
I met Robin and hung out with her. So very cool lady, very cool, very sharp. But that's that networking again. We sat next to each other. Hey, John, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? And so, you know, I always say that, you know, it's easy to sell, you know, even $10,000 on Amazon. It's not that hard. It's hard to get to that level where you can earn a real living, right? It's hard to make that transition. And so people get stuck at some point. So I'm always looking for a tip or a trick or some kind of nudge that they can move forward. Do you have something you can give us?
Well, I think a lot of people are just looking at retail arbitrage this time of the year. And I think one of the things that's going to help them separate themselves is taking retail arbitrage and bundling things. So in other words, if you have an item like toothpaste, well, you can do a multi-pack of three and probably everybody's doing it. But you can take toothpaste, a toothbrush, dental floss, and other things that go with it and create a bundle and become unique. And bundles do very well in fourth quarter. I think that people, if they're jumping in as a first time and they want to get over that level, that they need to go wide, not deep. I think they need to also, you know, if you're selling, like what you said, Stephen, if you're selling on Amazon this type of year, you certainly need to be selling on eBay, and you certainly need to be looking at other platforms to be able to make money with. So I think there's a lot of growth comes by also creating more channels so that you have different ways of, you know, creating an income. Like I said, I've got my course, I got the WhatsApp. I just got a lot of different ways. Affiliate marketing, I promote affiliates that I believe in, I used and trust. So I just think there's just so many other ways. And I like to think of getting people off Amazon and onto their own websites and doing private label and possibly getting their private labels in the, you know, the mom and pop brick and mortar stores. Because I think what a lot of people don't understand is that a lot of these brick and mortar stores, these mom and pop stores, they don't have the sales reps, you know, calling on them like the big stores do. And if you've got access to product, you're a win-win for them. You're giving them something, especially around Christmas time. If you can come up with some of the hot toys that they can't get and you're bringing them to market for them, you know, it's a win-win. So I think that the way to get to the next level is, yeah, sure, buy a lot more product and do it that way, or just look at different channels and different ways you can do it. Like, we've transitioned this year to, you know, Amazon's a good part of our business, but it's not the only part of our business this year. We have other avenues that we're working on. Like I said, I have books and courses and other things that can sustain my income if Amazon decides to suspend me.
I think that there is some really sound advice. And I don't think people think about what you said about retail stores. You're so right that, you know, it's hard to get these toys. You go try to buy Lego. These small stores can't buy it. So if you have access to a large amount of it for whatever reason, and you're thinking, oh, the only place I can sell it is there. Well, no, there are other channels. John, it is such great advice. I really appreciate that. The best way to get in touch with you. So we have myinventoryteam.com. I mean, I'm going to have links to all this. But again, you have a Facebook group, My Inventory Team, which I'm a member of, so somebody can reach out to me there too. And I just get a lot of information. Again, I love the fact that you have experts come in from different places, not related, and just offer different perspectives. I think there's so much value there. Any other final words you want to offer there, John?
Well, I think the co-op thing is the big thing that's the push right now, because you don't have to – the bottom line is you don't have to have money to do it if you're finding product and I move it for you. And I think by, you know, giving me the UPCs and the cost and the contacts, and I make those contacts and see if we can move product for you, as long as it's all brand new merchandise. I think that's the other thing. When you ask about how to take a business from a 10,000 level, you could take and make this a six-figure business just alone on finding product. And I think that if anybody's interested in that, they need to get involved with the co-op. And the co-op is the empoweryousystems.com. And then /CO-OP/. And you can sign up there and you can see the deals that are being done there. I had a guy today that I've been mentoring, and he called me today and he couldn't thank me enough. And he did a deal in the co-op today, and he made a lot of money, where I told him, for what you made in 10 minutes, all he did was put it out in the co-op, the deal he had, and he sold it in 10 minutes. He sold, I think, I don't know how many hundreds of units he sold. And what he made, doctors and lawyers don't make that in 10 minutes.
Right. Oh, that's great. I will have a link to that and all the information on there. And I think this is a great another piece of advice for somebody who's looking for a second source of income without using Amazon. It's just another option, and I just think it's such a great tool.
Or no risk.
Yeah, well, yeah, no risk and no money out of their pocket. Yeah, even better. You're just going to rent me a check. I like that. John, hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You got a lot going on, I know it, and I really appreciate you taking the time, and I think people get a lot from this, and I really appreciate what you do.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.